Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour of the War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I want to go quickly here to a video of the hearing yesterday. When the conflict happened that we just described, one of the charges was completely misrepresented to the jury as a felony when it was, in fact, a misdemeanor. How do you have this oversight in a case exist for 3 years before anything is done about it? Total absurdity across the board. Let's watch.
Is it your position that a person can still be convicted of a crime with which they were never charged and with which the jury was never instructed, as long as the evidence is sufficient?
Yes, I think that that is what the case law indicates, that in this case, I'll just point out too that, you know, I don't have the language of the statutes that you're citing in your hypothetical, but it was one word, might, and it was already.
Yeah, but that one word distinguishes it from a felony to a misdemeanor.
And this case made an extra sentence, 15 more months in the Department of Corrections that couldn't have been given had it been a misdemeanor conviction. It clearly affects substantial right.
I'm confused as to why the people are continuing to maintain that the proper remedy on this isn't to enter the conviction for the misdemeanor, because the indictment used the word might, and the jury was instructed on that, so that's what the verdict is. I am baffled as to the position that's being taken, that we can somehow overlook that and still enter the felony because the evidence that was presented at trial would have supported the felony. Are you still maintaining that position in front of us here today?
Yes, that is our position.
What case law supports that argument?
I'm sorry?
What case law supports that
I've
argument?
I've cited it in my brief. I don't have it right in front of me, but the case...
It's usually the omitted elements case law, right? Mm-hmm. But that's just where the element was omitted, and but the element that was omitted wasn't in dispute. Here, the jury was affirmatively misinstructed. It was instructed on the misdemeanor, and it found her guilty of that misdemeanor beyond a reasonable doubt. This isn't the omission of an element. This is a misinstructed jury. How can we correct that by saying, no, we'll just assume that because she could have also been convicted of the felony, we enter that even though we don't have a jury verdict?
I understand it's a difficult position for the people to be in.
But it's not a position you have to take.
Thank you. But I do believe that the omitted element language applies, because I understand, you know, I can hear from the way you're talking about it that it seems more egregious to add this extra word than it is to omit an element. But to me, omitting an element is a pretty big deal. And the fact that can be
those cases, at least the person was originally charged with the elemental language. Here, never on the table.
That is true, but if I can just add, and again, it seems that I will not be able to convince you, but I just want to put my argument out there, which is that there wasn't a confusion from the parties about what they were talking about, because the correct statutory citation was used, so they were on notice of the statutory citation. The language was incorrect, but the statutory citation was correct.
Couldn't that also mean that the prosecution was on notice that they'd only charged? Since the language was correct, they'd only charge that language and not... Well, I mean, both of them were on notice of something wrong.
Oh, yes. I guess what I'm saying, Your Honor, is just that there wasn't a notice problem because there was the statutory citation. And the parties treated it as though... I think it was an oversight. I think everybody believed that if they had charged and used the language for the... That's what the record bears out, in my estimation.
So it was just a little oopsie-daisy. Okay. Okay, the government can get away with stuff like that. Now, the oopsie-daisy Tina Peters did, where she copied over information that she was obligated by law to preserve, they sent her to jail for 9 years. Now, as part of that, they had an oopsie, but no, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It doesn't matter. She gets sent to jail for 9 years anyway, and there's no recompense or ability to punish these people, which they should be punished. They should be punished. If they had kidnapped Tina Peters and put her in their basement, that wouldn't be legal, right? Just because they do it with a couple extra steps involved doesn't mean they're not victimizing an innocent woman and should be held to account for it. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned into the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to move on to some international news now. I guess you could put it that way. And you know what? Actually, we'll start with some good international news. Because I have to say, Australia's pulling through. Australia is surprising me in the best possible way. We've been very down on Australia recently because of the response to the Bondi attack and the resulting censorship bill that is being jammed through their parliament. And we expected this to sort of fly through. I mean, they're doing it in this expedited emergency fashion, summoning parliament back to pass this immediately. And of course, the whole thing is ridiculous. And as of last night, I see a ton of Australian politicians and organizations you wouldn't expect standing up against this and saying, no, this is not going to pass. So it's looking like the bill to combat anti-Semitism in Australia, that's just the bill they've been wanting forever to silence white Australians who don't like their country being given away to Indians or Chinese people or Muslims or Jews or whoever else manages to grab the reins of power there. They've been wanting this forever, so they implement it. But it's looking like it might not actually pass, which would be absolutely wonderful. Let's go to clip number 40. First, this is David Shoebridge. I believe he is a representative of the Green Party, believe it or not, in Australia. Let's watch.
This legislation is 144 pages long. The government has chosen, after repeated political attacks from the coalition, to rush this legislation into parliament. And every stakeholder meeting we have raises fresh concerns and issues with this legislation. The government has chosen to rush this legislation into parliament without the usual processes for scrutiny. The coalition now is complaining about that. But it was the coalition who ran a weeks-long political campaign to put us in this situation, and it shows how the toxic politics of the coalition being responded to like this by the government does no one any good, and it definitely doesn't progress the national interest. We will not be supporting the legislation in its current form. The legislation also proposes wide-ranging prescription powers to list organisations and prescribe them without even due process or natural justice. That is not how good administrative decisions are made. That is not how you bring society along with you on the very, very hard task of working out if organisations are so hateful and so divisive that they should not be permitted to exist. How it is the government thought that legislation that removes natural justice, removes procedural fairness from such important decisions, would get wide-ranging support in the community, I cannot understand how the government thought that legislation would fly in its current terms. We are continuing to talk with the government. Those conversations will no doubt continue for some time. But I want to stress, it was the government that chose to put incredibly complex legislation on such a narrow time frame. And as I said, multiple stakeholders keep raising fresh concerns with this legislation, and those concerns are legitimate and need to be addressed. And we will continue to talk with the community, our party, our stakeholders, to ensure that this parliament does not make a terrible mistake next week.
Yeah, I think that's great. Labour's hate speech laws on the brink as coalition raises doubts and Greens reject plans. He's exactly right. Where is the due process? Where is the natural justice? I mean, it's fantastic. I love seeing it. I'm so glad this is not being rushed through in the way that it looked like it was. And just God bless the Australians standing up against this, including the Australian Jewish Association. The Australian Jewish Association is urging all members of Parliament to reject the draft hate speech bill. AJA CEO Robert Gregory said anti-Semitism has surged in Australia under the Albanese government, and it's clear that decisive action is required. While the proposed bill contains some potentially useful methods or measures, the manner in which it's being rushed through Parliament is deeply concerning. The process denies Australians the opportunity to properly scrutinize and comment on legislation of significant consequence. I've spoken with members of the Jewish community who are shocked that measures purportedly designed to protect them are being introduced without genuine consultation. The American Jewish Association was invited to make a submission, but was given less than 2 days to do so, despite the significance of the legislation. The government's haste is particularly offensive given its failure to act on the Siegel Report, which was handed to it in July 2025 by the Special Envoy on Antisemitism and Envoy of the government itself. Appointed. It's also unclear what problem this bill is intended to solve. The Bondi Beach Hanukkah massacre was allegedly motivated by radical Islamist ideology, yet the proposed legislation goes out of its way to avoid confronting that reality. By excluding radical Islamic extremism, it's difficult to see how this legislation will have any impact on preventing future Bondi-style attacks. If the legislation is expanded as expected, it could perversely result in victims being prosecuted for criticizing the ideology that inspired the violence against them. So again, great to see. Good on the Australians. Good on the Jewish Australia, the Australian Jewish Association. I completely agree. Complaining about the carve-outs for the hate preachers that specifically are aligned with the people that did the attack that the legislation is predicated on. So it's looking like it might not make it. We'll go to clip 35 here. An emboldened Susan Lay hit the ground running. And I don't believe she is a right-wing politician, but you don't have to be a right-winger to recognize when your rights are being taken away. Let's go to clip 35 now.
Susan Lay.
Group, and in coming days, the Shadow Cabinet and the Joint Party Room will meet in the usual way. But I want to be extremely clear today. The opposition has extremely serious concerns about the government's legislation. The legislation does not address the real issues that gave rise to the Bondi attack. It doesn't address Islamic extremism. It doesn't address ISIS influence. And it doesn't address the rise of anti-Semitism and the associated terrorist threat in Australia. What the bill does is clumsily try to address hate speech and control firearms. To date, the legislation has not stood the basic scrutiny as part of the parliamentary inquiry that is ongoing and has taken place over the last couple of days. Now, having heard evidence from the department, legal experts, and the community, it is clear the legislation protects hate preachers by making exemptions for things written in religious texts, but fails to define what those religious texts may be. It risks criminalising speech that has nothing to do with anti-Semitism or radical Islam. It sets up a gun buyback scheme that we don't even know if the states will support. These are not minor drafting issues. They go to whether these laws will work at all. Now, there are two tests for this legislation. The first, eradicate anti-Semitism, and the second, crack down on radical Islamic extremism. The laws achieve neither of these things. There's more than 500 pages of legislation, and the term radical Islam is not mentioned once. If the Prime Minister can't name the problem, he can't tackle it. Our job is to pass laws that contain clear offences for courts and police to use. Instead, the flaws in this bill will add confusion and delay in the charging and sentencing of terrorist offenders. We are being asked to consider sweeping powers, yet the government has not been able to explain how key provisions would operate in practice and what conduct would actually be captured. The Attorney General's Department couldn't tell us if phrases like globalise the intifada or from the river to the sea would be captured by this law. Officials couldn't even answer whether a fatwa preached by an Islamic extremist was classified as a religious text. If the government can't explain how the legislation will work, the parliament can't be expected to vote for it, and the community cannot possibly have confidence in it. Now, legal expert Chris Merritt said the religious text exemption amounted to a guide for hate preachers by telling them exactly what they need to do in order to continue to promote racial hatred. While ECAJ co-chief executive Peter Wertheim said the proposal created a very wide loophole that would be exploited to render the introduction of this offence ineffective. And that directly contradicts what we should be trying to achieve. The parliamentary inquiry should have brought clarity. Instead, questions put to the department have produced more questions than answers. Even at this late stage, the department cannot clearly tell Australians what will fall foul of the law when it comes to hate preaching and what will not. Now, this is an extraordinary position for a government to be in when proposing criminal sentences. Laws of this seriousness demand precision, confidence and clarity. What we have instead is confusion and contradiction. Now, the opposition will continue to scrutinise this legislation carefully, but from what we have seen so far, it looks pretty unsalvageable. As it stands, the government's proposal is half-baked and Australians deserve far better.
So again, very good to see David Littleproud surprised by Susan Ley's anti-Semitism package ahead of vote on Labor's hate speech bill. Nationals leader David Littleproud was revealed that he was surprised by opposition leader Susan Ley's anti-Semitism package announcement. So it's not going through quite as quickly as they expected or wanted or planned, and it might not go through at all. So that's very good to see. Even if I don't necessarily even agree with their, you know, objections. And it seems like some of them are like, well, it's just not quite specific enough. It'll be harder to actually get charges to stick under this bill. Whatever. Just don't pass the bill. I don't care what your opposition is to it. It's a bad bill in like 100 different ways. So whatever your objection is, you know, pick one. It's fine. Let's just not pass the bill. Now, I'm going to get back into censorship and the ADL in just a second. But I want to move away from that for a minute here for the final part of this segment, because some interesting things are developing in Ukraine that I want to spend a moment on. Yesterday, Tucker Carlson made a, no pun intended, bombshell announcement about the intentions and the plans of Russia moving forward. Let's go to clip 25 here. This is Tucker Carlson with a very important message from Russia. Let's watch.
Russia, and prepare yourselves because this is the global headline, Russia is actively considering the use of nuclear weapons against Europe. Not against Kiev, against Europe. Specifically, the UK and Germany. Just taking out the UK and Germany with nuclear weapons. That's a fact. Now, we're going to explain why we know that that's true in a moment. And at the end of this open, we're going to play an interview we did a few hours ago with a man called Sergei Karnagov, who is a longtime political advisor to Vladimir Putin and one of the most famous public intellectuals in Russia, been around for about 35 years, advised Boris Yeltsin, you know, 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago. And in that interview, he says point blank, yes, if the Ukraine war continues at this tempo for a year or two more, we, speaking apparently on behalf of the Russian government, on behalf of his friend Putin, or at least someone who's very familiar with President Putin's thinking, we, Russia, will eliminate the UK and Germany with nuclear weapons. Now, that's a headline. No one wants to see Qatari gas wellheads blown up. No one wants to see killing of any kind or destruction of any kind. But taking out the two most important countries in Europe, both of which have big American bases, lots of American personnel, of course, banking. You know,
extremely concerning. It's obviously a message from Putin as a warning to the saber-rattling and chest-pumping, chest-thumping of the Europeans. And they claim they're going to go fight a war against Russia, and Russia's like, guys, we will nuke your ass. Like, what are you talking about? You're going to go to war with us. We will take you out with two bombs. What are you talking about? What are you doing? Now, what Europe is doing is collapsing completely in really the most ridiculous way you can imagine. But obviously, it's a... Obviously, Putin is sick of the war and wants it to be over. And Trump actually said the same thing today. He had a statement saying that it was Zelensky holding up the peace process, not Putin, which I think we always knew. Things in Europe are collapsing at a pace, as we know. I mean, not to, like, we do have to take it seriously. We're literally talking about nuclear war. But, like, to Russia, I'd say, like, what's the hurry? Man, Europe is destroying itself. The UK is destroying itself. Germany is on the trajectory for complete and total collapse. If you want to destroy them, I wouldn't even intervene. I wouldn't intervene. I think a nuclear bomb landing on their capitals might save those countries, to be honest with you. Things destroying those countries are the programs of the central governments. So I don't know if a nuclear bomb would actually be that damaging of a thing. I mean, it's the classic comparison, right? Look at Detroit in 1940 and look at Nagasaki in 1940 and tell me which is more damaging over time, diversity or a nuclear bomb. A nuclear bomb you can rebuild from. When your people are replaced by foreigners, that's a permanent kind of thing. That's an attack that you can't rebuild from because you aren't even there to do it. So, you know. Only half joking, like, maybe it's not a bad idea. Maybe Putin can rescue Europe from its satanic elite that are killing the people of Europe. Maybe we can help him with that. I don't know. But just a little smattering of stories from across Europe today. Germany forces Lexus to remotely kill car heating in the dead of winter. What? So, apparently... It says dead phone batteries during emergencies are dangerous, but frozen windshields on winter mornings, apparently that's a luxury German authorities won't let you solve anymore. Your Lexus remote start just got remotely murdered by regulators who decided warming up your car counts as environmental terrorism. So if you have a remote start and you want your car to be heating up for a couple minutes before you go get into it, they have forced Lexus to remotely disable that ability. So if you bought a car with that function built in, the German government just decided, no, you didn't, and have removed it. It's insane, but that's what they're calling it. They're calling your car idling for 5 minutes in your driveway. That's environmental terrorism. Meanwhile, Antifa bombed a power transistor and knocked out power for 100,000 people, killing somebody. That's not environmental terrorism. That's just a little prank. That's some good old-fashioned activism. But letting your car idle, that is unacceptable. Completely insane, but here we are. Meanwhile, Keir Starmer, PM of UK, has announced 27 local elections are now canceled. These were scheduled elections that were supposed to take place today, this year. 4 million Brits should have been able to vote in May, but he decided to cancel elections because his party's not doing very well and wouldn't do well in the election, so now they're canceled. Meanwhile, 78% of Netherlands' starter homes for families with children go to aliens, while 20% of overall general starter homes go to aliens. Just a little, again, three headlines from today showing you the deliberate, self-inflicted, suicidal condition of Europe at the moment. So, Putin, you want to destroy Europe, just chill. Just sit back and relax. They're doing it themselves as fast as they possibly can. And of course, we're fighting all of this over Ukraine, which hasn't had elections in a couple years. And basically everybody except for Zelensky in the Ukrainian government is being charged with corruption or is fleeing the country with $100 million. They've just had this giant corruption scandal explode with these guys stole $100 million at least each from the Treasury. Both of them escaped to Israel where they won't be extradited. A third guy that was cooperating with them stayed, and he's being charged. Now we have Yulia Tymoshenko, reportedly accused of scheming to bribe Ukrainian MPs. She's an opposition figure. She denies any accusations against her and suggests office raids are linked to election speculation. Anti-corruption investigators have reportedly accused Tymoshenko, the prominent Ukrainian opposition figure and former prime minister, of organizing a scheme to bribe members of parliament, said to include figures from Volodymyr Zelensky's own party, to undermine him. She rose to international prominence during the Orange Revolution in 2004 and was jailed in 2011 on politically motivated charges by her arch-rival Viktor Yanukovych, the pro-Kremlin president, before being released during the Euromaidan protest. She is a spokesperson for the Specialized Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office, said on Wednesday that Tymoshenko had been charged after the offices of her fatherland party were raided late on Tuesday night by officers from SAPO and the National Anti-Corruption Bureau. We actually have video of that, clip number 27 here. You can see her with her distinctive hairstyle. Go ahead and roll it as B-roll. Tymoshenko with her distinctive hairstyle. Her face is blurred out. This is them raiding her office and actually producing bundles of cash, wads of cash, found hidden in purses and elsewhere in her office. While Tymoshenko has not been formally identified, investigators briefed media in Ukraine over her involvement while she released a statement denying any accusations. Now, then she gets up and gives a statement, clip 26 here. We can go to that, where she basically says, "You think I'm corrupt? Everybody here is corrupt." Let's watch clip 26. I want to say that for our team, this is already a long-established fact, and precisely because of that, no such actions, and I want to emphasize this clearly, will stop us, nor have they ever stopped us. I want to state that we have fought and will continue to fight against this dirty, all-encompassing, massive corruption that has today seized all branches of power in the Ukraine and that is destroying our defensive capabilities, destroying Ukraine's ability to defend itself. It has been turned into corruption. Ukraine has been turned into a corruption hub at all levels, from the top leadership down to the last official. Yeah, we know. No, we're perfectly aware of that, actually. So the woman accused of corruption is like, everybody here is corrupt. The president's corrupt. Every person in the government is corrupt. And we'll continue to fight this corruption as they pull out wads of cash hidden in her office. And this is the country that we've spent $300 billion and a million lives defending. This corrupt kleptocracy. Criminal scum. Enough already. We'll be back on the other side to talk about what the ADL has been up to. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get War Cry today, the smelling salts that'll knock your socks off.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment of the War Room today. We're going to check in on our self-appointed Jewish overlords at the ADL. We're going to see what they're up to. As we've been calling them for years, it's really the perfect appellation, the perfect label for them, our self-appointed Jewish overlords. They have no real authority. Nobody voted for them. They don't even speak for the Jews as a whole. But they can weaponize anti-Semitism, weaponize the fear the Jews have because of the Holocaust, and they can, you know, silence people, bring entire countries to heel. It's very impressive. And they're talking about their strategies and what their plans are in the future as part of the Jerusalem Post event that we've been showing videos from, including one yesterday from Shabbos Kestenbaum. Was there at the J-Post, Jerusalem Post summit. Let's go to clip number 6 here. This is Meta's Jewish diaspora chief, because Meta, company that owns Facebook and Instagram, has a Jewish diaspora chief. What does that mean? Chief Jew, I guess. That's they have a Jewish person that's there to make sure that their interests are served and that nobody talks against them. And I guess they'd kick me off the platform for saying exactly what they are, is the irony of it all. Let's watch.
As part of a robust framework to combat anti-Semitism, we have industry-leading policies designed with the safety of the Jewish community in mind. We remove content that threatens harm through intimidation or violence directed at Jews, Israelis, and Zionists. We do not allow Holocaust denial and distortion. We prohibit harmful stereotypes about Jewish people, such as claims that Jews control financial, political, or media institutions. We remove hate speech against Zionists when these harmful stereotypes...
All right, yeah, we can take it down. I mean, that's it. That's the funny part. Very good bit. As the Jewish diaspora chief with censorious power over Facebook, we'll delete anybody that says we have such powers. We will not allow the anti-Semitic myth of control of the media spread. Not while we control the media. No, sir. All right, well... This is on purpose, isn't it? I mean, you know what this is, right? I mean, do you? I mean, do they get what they sound like right now? I mean, it's literally the joke from the early 90s or late 80s with Norm Macdonald going, who was it? It wasn't Mel Gibson. Can't remember who it is, but you know, it's like he made anti-Semitic comments, and but he's apologized, so now the Jews say he's free to work again. You know, and it's like, well, okay, wait, if they can stop him from working, then it kind of means he's right. Everybody gets this. It's just absurd, and it's just like they keep making these speeches. I mean, Jordana Cutler went viral last year for making pretty much exactly the same speech. Here she is making it again. It's not like a surprise or anything, but it's, you know, pretty astonishing how they make these claims over and over that are just confirm all of the stereotypes. Yeah, Marlon Brando. Earlier this week, Marlon Brando met with Jewish leaders to apologize for the comments he made on Larry King Live, among them that Hollywood is run by Jews. The Jewish leaders accepted the actor's apology and announced that Brando is now free to work again. That's it. And that was from the late 80s, by the way. So, been this way for a while. Let's go to... Okay, we got a lot. Let's go to clip 22 here. Let's go to clip 22 because what we just heard is that if you ever make the heinous, vicious, anti-Semitic claim that the Jews are somehow conspiring to control things, that they, you know, are meeting in secret to conquer the world, like none of that. That's not going to be allowed, okay, unless you're the president of the ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, and you're bragging about it, in which case... Go ahead, sir. Let's watch.
Now, just last week, leaders of the world's seven largest Jewish communities convened in Australia as part of the 2025 J7 summit. This is a summit organized by ADL as part of the J7 task force to combat anti-Semitism, a convening of representative bodies of the largest Jewish communities on earth.
So the J7, as we said, is comprised of the seven largest diaspora communities. We meet every other week via Zoom to share information, to share best practices. We share what worked for our communities, what hasn't worked, what might work elsewhere. We have shared tips or draft legislation that might work in other countries or spoken of different litigation. A lot of what has been very important has been this consultation where we can learn from each other, learn the trends that are coming in, learn the techniques that others have used successfully, and what might be coming our way. Because what happened in Montreal could happen in Melbourne, and what happens in New York or London or Paris will make its way to Buenos Aires. That's number one. Number two, we do speak in one voice in certain aspects on key advocacy. So for example, when we left Australia, our call to action was on the Australian government. to move forward the special envoy Gillian Siegel's plan on anti-Semitism, which has been stalled for a number of months, to accept it and to implement it. It was significant that the leaders of the seven largest diaspora communities went to Australia to show solidarity publicly with the community, with government leaders in the media, and also make this joint call to action. Finally, we have meetings that are some off the record, some on the record with world leaders in which we share our community's concerns and call for action. So it's both a really important body for consultation and learning from each other, as well as an effective tool when we can come together and speak in one voice.
Mm. See, the largest Jewish diaspora communities get together every 2 weeks to pressure world leaders to serve their ends, benefit the Jewish community, pass laws restricting national rights for the sake of Jewish people, installing special envoys who can then prescribe laws that you can then have these seven wealthiest, largest Jewish communities around the world pressure economically, politically, obviously using the force of the countries that they are congressmen or senators in, like we see constantly with people writing letters as congressmen or senators, like Lindsey Graham writing letters to Ireland, threatening them with sanctions if they rename a park that was named after a Jewish person, or a Jewish member of AIPAC that wrote a letter to Iceland threatening them with, you know, American sanctions if they were to pass their ban on genital mutilation for boys, circumcision, various ways to pressure these countries, lawmakers, industries, and they do it in a coordinated fashion, using really immense pressure and sometimes blackmail to get their way. It's an international group that speaks with one voice and wields immense pressure on Western countries mostly. To get their way. And that's a good thing. Whew. That was close. I almost said something really anti-Semitic, but don't worry. It's a good thing. And that's good that that happens. See, now I'm not anti-Semitic. Now I'm a member of the ADL. I'm saying the same thing that an anti-Semite might say, but no, it's a good thing that this is happening. So there you go. See how that works? See, Jordana Cutler is a Jewish person that is now in charge of censoring Facebook. She does so for the benefit of the Jewish community to progress their own, their agenda, and basically to stop anybody talking bad about them. And that's a good thing. And we love that. And that's so necessary and good and wonderful. Okay. So it's not a conspiracy theory. It's not an anti-Semitic claim because I said it's good that this is happening. Okay. So it can be confusing. Let's go to clip number 45 here. Greenblatt. Talking about the people that they don't want online. Let's watch.
I think the only way we're going to defeat the rising anti-Zionism on the left is by people on the left. So what I try to do at ADL, what we try to do is to provide data, is to provide tools, is to step up, but often quietly behind the scenes. It doesn't help. I don't think it helps the Jewish people, and it doesn't disarm them when I go after Nick Fuentes or Hassan Piker, a revolting person. They should call him Hamas Piker. He's here in L.A. And he's just a putrid, says horrible, slanderous things about Jews, about Zionists, about Israel.
And has a big platform.
Yeah, so you might not know Hassan Piker, but if your kids are watching video games, you better believe they do. Because on Twitch and on Steam, he's everywhere, let alone on YouTube and Insta. So anyways, long story short, we definitely are working a lot to try to get the platforms to kind of enforce their own terms of service so that we can pull down the most offensive hate speech or get them to do it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I saw people posting that and going, you know, clearly the way Jonathan Greenblatt, he mentions Nick Fuentes, but then he goes off on Hassan Piker. He clearly is so much more threatened by Hassan Piker than Nick Fuentes, who he just, you know, barely mentions. And it's like, okay, Hassan Piker is on all of these major platforms. Nick Fuentes is not. Nick Fuentes has already gotten the ADL treatment, and they are way more scared of Nick Fuentes than they are of Hassan Piker. But part of it is propping up Hassan Piker as the anti-Israel guy. So you can point to him and go, if you're against Israel, you're with him. And we've been struggling with this for the entirety of, you know, well, for me, the entirety of my existence, but for people waking up to Israel, like for all of 2023, 2024, 2025, that was always the claim, right? It was like, oh, you don't like what Israel's doing? I didn't know you liked Hamas. I didn't know you liked Hassan Piker. I didn't know you were a leftist. And it's like, yeah, that's the false dichotomy that they want to try to squeeze you into so they can claim that if you are against what Israel's doing, you're not allowed to be a Republican. You have to be a liberal leftist idiot. You have to love Hassan Piker, or you have to love Candace Owens, who's also allowed on all these platforms saying things that would get people like Nick Fuentes kicked off, because it's all about dividing and conquering and allowing the worst examples of your enemies a platform while the people who are effectively arguing against you are silenced and discriminated against. So let's be clear about where the real threat is here. Let's go to clip 36 here. This one pissed a lot of people off, including Tucker Carlson himself, and the stories at Information Liberation. ADL is, quote, helping Ted Cruz and Ben Shapiro take down Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, CEO suggests. Let's watch.
Jonathan, can you comment on Nick Fuentes and what do you actually do that effectively can counter what he does? And what are your expectations of the government to be critical of a person that has that kind of platform?
So for everyone's benefit, the question was, can I comment on Nick Fuentes and what he does? And what are you doing to counter him? And what's the government's role?
By the way, his second name is Joseph, a good Jewish name.
Nick Fuentes' second name is Joseph?
Yes.
Look, his last name is Fuentes. Nick Fuentes is a Hispanic person, okay? And he is an open, unapologetic, racist, homophobe, and more than anything, an anti-Semite. He's a toxic, disgusting person. And yet, thanks to X and social media, he's been incredibly effective at getting his message out there. I mean, social media is a super spreader of anti-Semitism and hate. And people like Nick Fuentes, they're like patient zero spreading this. And look, it didn't help us when candidate, whatever you'd call him, former President Trump had him over for dinner, like at Mar-a-Lago a few years ago. And it doesn't help us that when given the opportunity, people in positions of power don't renounce this guy. Now, look, to his credit, J.D. Vance has done that. But we have this challenge right now on the right. And it's like a good thing because there are bad voices who've been elevated. Like, look, Nick Fuentes is disgusting. Tucker Carlson is disgusting. Candace Owens is disgusting and so on. But there have been good people like Ted Cruz and Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin who are pushing back on these Speaker Johnson. Pushing back on these revolting lunatics.
All right. So in response to this, Tucker Carlson said, Republican senator slash presidential candidate working with anti-white ADL to suppress speech. You can see why people begin to wonder about the system that we currently have. Yeah, you got to wonder. I mean, again, folks, the ADL has been around since 1913. Okay. Maybe a coincidence. The year was so important in so many different ways. They have had monopolistic censorious control of the publishing sector since the 1950s, at least. They have instructed and trained every single member of the FBI for the last several decades. They're so thoroughly embedded in our political system that, yeah, it's no wonder we do so much for them. I mean, this is the system that we live in. The curtain's being pulled back, and they're not really trying to hide it anymore, which is particularly disturbing, in my opinion. But let's go to this clip called Jew Hatred, because I totally called this. I got to find the clip, because I nailed this one, because I called this out like 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I saw the president of the World Jewish Congress, Ron Lauder. He made this statement. He said, it's not anti-Semitism anymore. It's Jew hatred. And it was like this big push. I was like, all right, that's what they're doing from now on. Like anti-Semitism, they've used it so much. It's lost its luster. It's lost its oomph, its impact, its power, and so they've come up with another phrase. And I said at the time, I don't know if this is such a great phrase. It sounds like what you're talking about is hatred by Jews, not of Jews. You say Jew hatred, it's like, well, what do you mean? You mean the way they think about Palestinians? It's like, well, no, that's not what we mean. No, we mean hatred of Jews. So they basically have decided to go back to anti-Semitism. I swear I totally called this like 2 years ago. I called that they were trying to change it from anti-Semitism to Jew hatred, and then I said that's not a good idea because that term could be interpreted multiple ways. It sounds like they finally realized this. Here's Jonathan Greenblatt.
Deborah asks a question. Wouldn't it be more powerful to say Jew hatred than anti-Semitism? Well, one thing I should just say is, again, protect, advocate, educate. We have centers of excellence at ADL, our Center on Extremism. We also have a Center on Anti-Semitism Research. Our Center on Anti-Semitism Research is run by a Stanford PhD. He's actually observant. We have several PhDs on staff. We have a network of academics and scholars we work with around the country. So we've done the research. We've literally done the research. And we're running everything all the time from focus groups to attitudinal surveys to like randomized controlled trials to identify what interventions work most effectively. And we've tested this. And the funny thing is, it doesn't matter. The term Jew hatred we find in our research, when you say end Jew hatred, Gentiles think you're talking about the hatred of Jewish people. You understand that? As if we were the ones hating.
You know, because of all the hateful things that you do. Yeah, that might be a little bit confusing. Because when you have Randy Fine saying, let them starve, feels kind of hateful for me. It's the type of Jew hatred I think we should be fighting. I mean, do you understand what he just said? And like, we know this, but it's funny to hear him say it sometimes, where they're just like, listen, we've got so many PhDs on staff. We're running labs. We're running A-B testing. We're running focus groups across the whole country. We're running social media testing of the attitudinal responses to the, and it's like, wow, and you're still losing, huh? That's amazing. We don't have any of that. We don't have any of that. I just sit here and say things. I just read the news and then describe what's happening. You're doing tests and stuff, huh? You're scientifically trying to program what's going to be the best response, and you're still just losing hand over fist. That's wild. That is truly embarrassing for you. That sucks. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we had that? Can you imagine if we had the power of the ADL? I mean, we wouldn't be losing like them. That's for damn sure. See, our superpower is the truth, is telling the truth, is having the truth on our side, is not having to determine what we say on what scored the best on some poll that was given out and paid for. Like, we don't do any of that. We don't have to because we're telling the truth. So it's pretty easy, actually. And we're honest, and we're up front, and we're not weasels or worms like Mr. Greenblatt. So we don't have to, you know, try to scientifically mold our message to most effectively hit the demographic quadrants that we're targeting. No, we just say the truth, and honest, truthful people gather to us. So it's pretty cool, actually. It's pretty cool that they have all of that advantage, all of that money, all of that infrastructure, all of that institutional advantage, and we're beating them pretty resoundingly. So it's great. We need to keep pushing, and clearly they're flailing and desperate, and their rebranding isn't working. They're going back to what it was before. It's all very embarrassing for them, and we're laughing at them behind their backs. Let's go to this one. ADL CEO Jonathan Greenblatt says the ADL is working with basically all of the AI companies to make sure that AI itself is programmed in the mindset of the ADL and nobody else. Let's watch.
So someone came up to me after services and said, I really want to ask him a question, but I can't be there. So I said, okay, give me the question. I'll ask. Here is the question. The question is, it used to be when Nazis were marching that Jews would show up with clubs and get into fights. He says, now I know we can't do that anymore, but has the ADL ever considered hiring people to counter march, especially people of different ethnicities, so that because social media and publicity are so important, people won't see marches unopposed? So I have now asked.
So I think it's an interesting question. I think that we have to do, like, to quote Wayne Gretzky, is not go where the puck is, but where it's going. And this has been a big lesson really since 10-7 in part. So I can tell you, you know, we have taken resources and redistributed it really towards the LLMs, towards generative AI, Folks, I got to tell you, how many of you used ChatGPT in the last week? Raise your hand. Folks, I'm going to come back here in a year and you all need to raise your hand. ChatGPT is ground truth for the vast hundreds of millions of people. It has over a billion users. It's been around for like 2.5 years. So like marching in the streets is one thing we could do, but what I would rather do and where I'm investing is building the technology to train the LLMs more effectively and working with OpenAI, with Alphabet, with Anthropic, with Meta, with Microsoft.
Yeah, we are working with agents in all of these, and they're programming them to have their mindset. It's very pernicious and extremely dangerous and has to be rooted out completely. And we cannot trust LLM that's been programmed by liars like this. Let's quickly go to the next, where Americans who criticize Jews in Israel will be monitored by the FBI. Let's watch.
So number one, we measure and track. Number two, we monitor and disrupt. We have a whole apparatus. I have 40 analysts working full-time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, monitoring extremists. We monitor them online, social media, messaging apps, video games, cryptocurrency, podcasts, short-form video, Wikipedia, LLMs. We monitor these people, and we share the intelligence with the FBI. You saw last month, you heard about
the FBI is basically the enforcement arm of the ADL, which is why they've been exclusively going after white people for the last several decades, while extremist groups have proliferated and our country's gone to hell and the actual criminals have gotten away because they've been investigating people like InfoWars under claims that we're racial extremist, racial supremacist, because they're guided by the ADL, who lies about their intentions in order to destroy their enemies by claiming that they're hateful when they're not. They're just telling the truth. So, you know, Jonathan Greenblatt is like the biggest menace in the world right now. And again, all the things that he says, I could say it'd be called anti-Semitic. He's there admitting it. And I mean, how funny is it that they're like, there are all these marches happening. Have you ever thought about paying people to counter march? It's like, no. What? How is that? Wouldn't it be, have you ever thought about counter-marching? Why is the first thought, have you ever thought about paying a diverse group of people to counter-march? It's like, your whole mindset is disturbed, man. It's all very disturbed. And we have to break their power over us from the FBI to LLMs. It's becoming extremely dangerous. And obviously, they're not trying to confront us physically. They're trying to confront us in the mental realm by, you know, dictating what we are and are not allowed to think or say. And it's a lot easier to control people that way than it is to physically intervene. That's going to be our show. I do encourage you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Try out the new War Cry smelling salts. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let him know who sent you War Cry, the smelling salt. Unbelievably powerful stuff. Even if you've ever tried smelling salts and you like them, this is going to be the one that you're going to want to use. It's stronger than anything else I've ever tried. If you've never tried smelling salts, what are you waiting for? Go now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Free hat.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us,
We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.